get back to the KVTA Morning Show
with Spence.
That's what the founding fathers would want.
On News Talk 1590 KVTA.
8:38, we are News Talk 1590 at KVTA, and I got lots of swag here. I got Public Works stickers from Ventura, because we do have Glenn Shepard in, Director, Watershed Protection, Public Works of Ventura County. How are you doing this morning? It is great to see you in studio.
Doing fantastic. I'm glad you're, we're in the studio.
Right? And we're all, we can do this now. And as you see, we have all of the proper cleaning devices that we need here, all of the stuff that we need. But this is how we have to be. You know, this is the reality that we're dealing with. And I'm sure within Public Works, you folks working together in and out of office, this has changed your lives dramatically, too.
Oh, absolutely. COVID was a game changer. And with the with the industry, construction and public works as a essential service, we've been out in the field doing really everything we need to do, including the topic of this, flood preparedness. We've been working on it all year.
Now, Flood Preparedness Week, for a lot of us here, it's just like fixing a hole where the rain comes in to stop my mind from wandering. I do a little Beatles for you there. It's so dry here so often, people go, what are you talking about? But we can really have some very, very severe problems here when the rain does hit, and it hits suddenly. So let's talk about first Flood Preparedness Week. What is going to happen now during COVID-19, and how can people become more aware?
Right. So in the past, we've done a lot of preparation and group practices, if you will, with cities and other entities. This is really a statewide program that began in 2012, and so it gets energized from the state to the counties and participating cities that all come together and practice their emergency response, their first responders. That's from the agency perspective. The other aspect is preparing information and both in Spanish and English, that are available to the public so they can prepare their own residents and homes and their families for a potential flood.
And when it comes up quick. And a lot of people forget it's for the homes, it's for the agriculture, it's for the businesses. Take Fillmore, for example. I've lived there 18, 19 years at this point. It goes from you're driving over these bridges, over the Sespe, over the Santa Clara River, and it's just a bunch of rocks and maybe a trickle. But I've seen it more than twice, probably three times now. It gets all the way up to the freeway, and that volume of water is just stunning when you see it come through. So these are the situations that we're watching out for. So would it go all the way from Peru down through and into, obviously, the ocean is where the ultimate end spot is for this?
Santa Clara River is really a massive river system. It goes all the way into L.A. County. And you mentioned the Sespe Creek next to Fillmore. Tremendous flows come out of that. That particular watershed starts in eastern Santa Barbara County and flows all the way behind Rose Valley, Ojai, and then makes a great turn right there at Fillmore. And that particular creek dumps into the Santa Clara River like so many others. And so you can think of the watershed or the network just like streets. When they get clogged, they overflow.
And when we look at the point of when you talk about the water turning, water is very deliberate and aggressive on where it will go and where it will end up. And it can change the terrain very, very quickly. The Santa Paula Airport was actually one created by the flood. The dam that broke was the, help me, Rich is always good at this.
Felicia.
Yeah, through the creek. So that lake created that. And then the next really bad flood we had, maybe about 15 years ago, tore into the airport there, too.
2005.
Thank you very much for that. Because you'll look at this and say, how could this possibly happen? Because this area doesn't get much rain. What's the average rainfall here?
So we traditionally use the city of Ventura on the coast, and it's about 15 to 16 inches of rain a year.
15 to 16 inches of rain per year. But then when it comes, and it really comes, that's when we can get overwhelmed.
Right. And our winter season is really between January and March is when traditionally most of the rain's going to fall. And you mentioned the flashy nature of our creeks and rivers, right? You go from 5,000-6,000 feet in Ojai and above Fillmore and Santa Paula, and within 15, 16 miles, you're at the coast. So it moves very fast. Your point about power of water, it's the intensity, magnitude, and speed which it flows.
And the other thing about these issues are fires. Fires take down all the brush, and they turn the hills into this blackened and sometimes very hard surface area, which also causes problems. So if you only get 6 inches of rain, that's how many acres of 6 inches of rain coming down on us and filling our channels. So that exacerbates the problem right there.
Yes. The term of art is hydrophobic after a fire, which repels water instead of having it soak in. So that's for the high school kids out there today, hydrophobic.
Hydrophobic.
Right. So Thomas Fire in 2017 and Woolsey Fire in 2018, you know, massive fires that created some of that condition. And the watersheds, they have some rain afterwards. Take about 5 to 7 years before they come back and perform the way that they used to.
In studio with us is Glenn Shepard, Director of the Watershed Protection here with the Public Works of Ventura County. So what does PWA do to prepare Ventura County in the event of a flood? When was our last big event? What was the date on that for Ventura County?
We would consider it 2005 as an overall event, but in Camarillo Springs 2014, that was, again, a post-fire event that had a mudslide that come down on those homes in 2014.
Yeah, and we had a few of those homes destroyed there.
Correct.
And another unique part of the aspect of our, you know, the way the geography is here, I go up to that area a lot. I know a couple of people back there. And you look up and you say, boy, if there's water, where is it going to go? And all of it is going to come down right there. So for you guys to analyze an area, see what the water did when things went wrong, and then have to create something to make sure the next time it will go as right as possible.
Correct. We have a flood warning system, which is a network of gauges, over 100 rain gauges that collect water over routinely, but then send signals every 5 minutes. So there's a network of that. Stream gauges are also about 80 stream gauges that we have, also measure the flow in the rivers. And so that network, combined with some experts that run models, can predict the height and the amount of water that we expect at certain locations throughout the system.
So that can help with evacuation?
Yes, and so we have teams embedded with the Sheriff's Emergency Operations Center for a major storm event that help with the decision-making and providing situational awareness to the decision-makers on what to do in any potential evacuation events.
And in many cases, in fire, we know it's deadly and we know it ravages areas. We had it happen here. But if there's one thing that's unique about fire, one can sometimes be in the middle of a street. They can be in an area where the fire might not get to them, where it's relatively safe. But water just goes everywhere. And that's one of the things about water that is really intense. I love the fact that there is a warning system to get people evacuated. The thing that cracks me up about the earthquake warning system is, guess what? There's going to be a And then, what is your real warning on an earthquake? Enough to maybe duck under a desk. But in this right. case, you've developed a system that could actually get people out of a community that would be threatened.
Right. For instance, the modeling that we have that can measure the expected flows based on the rain, expected rain intensity, are updated every 2 hours. So they're, as storms perform, you know weather predictions are not mm-hmm. exactly precise. But the team is looking at it and updating performance of a particular storm every 2 hours to do whether it's underperforming or overperforming, and providing again that site picture to the sheriff's emergency operations center.
When we deal with these areas too, when we deal with all of our channels, with all of the riverbeds, there's a lot of pollution that's going on. There's a lot of illegal dumping. There's a lot of stuff that happens. I've been working with Stephen Gama from Port Hueneme, a lot of people with the Surfrider Foundation. Stephen goes every Saturday and does a clean up there and provides the equipment. How important is it that we keep an eye on this and really, really keep a close eye on illegal dumping?
It's absolutely essential, whether it's on the roadways or in the creeks. It's critical to the health of our waterways. And I think the public in general, if you look what happened in Los Angeles when they voted for Measure W, which was a new tax that looked at healthy water bodies, if you will, with respect to stormwater. And they worked on that for 15, 20 years, and they finally got it passed based on the public finally accepting that they want to pay for healthy waterways.
And one of the things about healthy waterways makes for a healthy environment, makes for a healthy beach, because when people wonder, and if you ever want to wonder, they've done a great job there, but that lagoon that's over between the power plant and like the Wainimi Beach there, where the Alaskan flight memorial is, that was so trashed up. It was just ridiculous. They had CBs come out. They had a lot of youth groups come out. A bunch of us were out there cleaning up. And when you start to talk about dumpsters being taken out of one lagoon, it shows you what must be up and down our coast. So it's our job to nip that before it gets down to the beach and to take it out of the channels as quickly as we possibly can.
Absolutely. And we just had coastal cleanup week, which actually turned into a month because of COVID, which was good because you have people going out every weekend to go do what you talk about.
And how much time is taken up for you guys that really shouldn't be on that kind of trash removal? Is that like a big part of your job? Is that like a huge percentage of time that otherwise wouldn't be taken up if people just handled the trash properly?
It's not a big percentage, but certainly is a significant component that we have to deal with. And a lot of times we can't do the real work on the channel, whether it's repairs on concrete or removal of brush, until we get the garbage out.
And for people, just to start in the place where you are, and that's your home, perhaps your business, what are some of the steps people can do just to make sure their house is as flood safe as possible?
Well, we like to start with, the person and, be aware. So we can sign up for VC Alert through the county so that you may be on the beach one day and thinking, oh, it's sunny and having a great time. And VC Alert will tell you, hey, there's an incoming storm or something, and you may not, especially in Southern California, may not be thinking about that. So it's awareness. Then it's preparedness, getting a kit ready, preparing your car for, gas and potential if you have to evacuate an area, and preparing your other family members with kits or even games and whatever they need to take with them at a moment's notice, because the evacuation may come quick.
Everybody needs a bug out bag. Think of your dogs, think of your kids, think of everything you have, your medications, all of that, and have that ready. Landscaping for houses, when some people do it themselves, they might not look at drainage properly and be very, very surprised when a little bit of rain comes in. It can cause a lot of problems for their house. Recommendation on that, professional landscapers, or really having a clue there, because I've seen some things go a little bit wrong after what would be a light rain for people.
Correct. And obviously, early season, you might be able to foretell some of that when you see maybe ponding or other things floating away that you thought wouldn't float away into your neighbor's yard. But, it's important to seek professional help when you think that when things are significant. Absolutely.
Help them out that way. Let's go to a website. What's the best place for people to connect with Public Works, Ventura County?
VCPublicWorks.org. A lot of information there, and then next week we're going to have a lot of the flood preparedness information that's available for everybody.
So, Glenn, how did you get into this business?
I retired out of the U.S. Navy and then thought, well, California.
I know somebody else in your circle of friends that are from. You dealt with a lot of water in the Navy, so why not deal with a lot of it here? There's water everywhere, but not a cup to drink.
Yes.
That's what we have. Glenn Shepherd, thank you so much for coming in, Director of the Watershed Protection Agency. Again, people can go to vcpublicworks.org and find out more information. This is very, very important, folks. And if you want to meet Stephen Gama and you want to see us down at the Port Hueneme Beach, I'm going to be there this Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I'm going to get my grabber and my bucket, and I'm going to go around and pick up some trash. Glenn, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it here. 852 KVTA.